It is now time for Mic Check, our featured segment. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going inside the church this morning. The Lenox Road Baptist Church is marking a triple jubilee, 150 years. It was founded in the year 1872, just 7 years after cattle slavery. It is now a stapled institution in the Brooklyn community. It is more than a church. Anthony Turner, our senior pastor, has arrived. Please do the honors and introduce our guest, sir.
Yes, Rasta, my special guest on Mic Check this morning is Reverend Dr. Kirkpatrick Kuhal, and he serves as senior pastor for the Lenox Road Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York, and he's been doing this for the past 26 years. And prior to his pastoral service, Dr. Kuhal, for over 13 years, worked as a medical technologist at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Research Hospital right here in New York City. He's prayerfully made a bold and a courageous change in his career path to fulfill a call to pastoral ministry. And Reverend Kuhal currently serves as the chairman for the SUNY Downstate Health Science University Council. And he has served on several other, including Anchor House and American Baptist Church, USA. He is a past president of the Board of International Ministries of the American Baptist Churches, overseeing ministries serving in 6 continents. And during Reverend Kuhal's 25 years of his leadership, he led the project to rebuild a $6 million worship facility, which includes an educational and recreational complex serving the youth of the Flatbush community. And this facility offers computer training, summer day camp, basketball, and other recreation activities geared to keep at-risk youths off the street after an after-school program. So there we have it. Our special guest on Mic Check this morning, the Reverend Dr. Kirkpatrick Kuhal.
And we welcome the Reverend Dr. Kuhal once again to Groovin' Radio. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I am good, and good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is a privilege and an honor to be with you again on this very special occasion of our church.
It is indeed our privilege to have you on here. And I know in my opening monologue before we started this interview, I said we are going into the church, but I want to just dig a little bit into Dr. Kuhal's background and the work you did at Sloan Kettering. Take us back, the journey there at Sloan Kettering, as we observe Breast Cancer Awareness Month, as we just transition out of Prostate Cancer Month. Talk to us about the work you did there at Sloan Kettering, Doc.
Yes. So I originally wanted to study medicine in my younger years, having gone through Cornell College in Montego Bay and did all of the sciences. When I came here, I did a chemistry degree, and still wanted to go on to medicine, but an alternate path was created as a medical technologist specializing in clinical chemistry. So I was employed at Memorial Sloan Kettering doing cancer research, mostly from the chemistry standpoint, helping doctors in a diagnosis and treatment for all kinds of different cancers. As you know, Memorial Sloan Kettering is one of the premier cancer research hospitals, not just in New York City, but in the nation. Bob Marley himself got treatment at Memorial Hospital. So my work was concentrated primarily in the laboratory. When a patient comes in and they request blood that would be sent to the chemistry lab, I would be one of those who would actually do tests on the blood for those patients. We've worked with all kinds of different cancer patients, and in particular men who suffer from prostate cancer all of those tests I'm very familiar with. We did it while I was there. Then I decided that there was something more for me, because I was basically just in the lab doing a good service, but decided that I really do need to see people and meet people and engage people in their lives, in their suffering, in their pain. Mm-hmm. And that kind of drove me into ministry. Mm-hmm. Where I decided that would be a good alternative. So I kind of did both of them for about 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And then I decided to go full time into ministry after that.
Before we go into the ministry part of it, though, I want to go into the classroom now. I just came out of Sloan Kettering Medical Cancer Center. I want to go mm-hmm. into the classroom, you being an adjunct professor. What was that like? You coming from Montego Bay, Jamaica. And let me say good morning. If you attended Cornwall College, good morning. Here's one of your old boys.
Yes, sir.
Now, take us into the classroom as a professor. What was that like for you, sir?
That was very, very inspirational. I went on to Fordham University and completed a PhD in educational leadership. This was after my seminary training, and worked as an adjunct professor for a few years at Fordham and then at New York Theological Seminary. I taught there for a couple of years, became the academic dean there. But it was inspirational because you are now teaching and understanding how the educational system in the United States has worked, why some people are more privileged than others, mm-hmm. why the system is designed. And when I say designed, it is designed in a certain way mm-hmm. to keep a certain group mm-hmm. within a certain framework, and others who will always excel, go to the Ivy Leagues and so forth. So I taught courses such as social justice in education, curriculum building, and my encounter was with people who were in the second phase of their careers. They were either bored or tired with what they were doing for years, and they wanted to go on to education or something different. So it was very, very inspirational for me. I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. There were lawyers and educators and doctors in my classroom. So it was a very, very challenging experience. But I think that that has left an indelible print on my mind. I should say, Russ Klim, that I also mm-hmm. thought at Sing Sing Prison. New York Theological Seminary has a program at Sing Sing Prison, and I taught there for three years. Every Monday I would drive up to Sing Sing and I would teach about 15 or 16 incarcerated men who were doing long stretch times and were working on their education while they were there. So I do come from a broad perspective.
Indeed.
Of education, teaching, and sciences, and medical technology, all that kind of stuff.
I don't know how you do it, ladies and gentlemen. Our very special guest this morning is the Reverend Dr. Kirk Patrick G. Cole. Yes, he attended Cornwall College down there in our second capital city of Montego Bay, Jamaica, and he is now leading. He is now behind the driver's seat inside the Lenox Road Baptist Church, marking 150 years, a triple jubilee. And as I said before, Anthony, imagine this, a church founded 7 years after cattle mm-hmm. slavery. 7 years after cattle slavery. I want you to just take our listeners back, Reverend Cole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When this church was founded, just paint a picture of what America was like. Paint a picture for them, because this must have been an all-white church, huh?
Yes. You're absolutely correct. It was an all-white church when it started and remained all-white up until maybe about the early 1970s, late 1960s, early 1970s. So the church actually started in 1872, which, as you know, the end of slavery in the United States was 1865. Racism, of course, was the order of the day. Segregation, even in New York City, in New York, was still very, very prevalent. The church did not have a social justice outreach. By that I mean their focus was not on the liberation of any person, and especially people who were once enslaved. Their mission was, in my estimation, concentrated on just going through the religious rituals. Going to church, going to service, and not so much like what we in this season of our leadership are concentrated on fighting injustice, seeking the liberation and empowerment of our people. So in those early years of white leadership, white membership, which was dominated, as you know, Brooklyn was dominated first by Irish and Italians. And then in about 1922, there was a massive migration of Southern blacks to the north, Brooklyn in particular. But, Rasan, one of the things I want to say is that there are other Baptist churches, like in Harlem, Abyssinia Baptist Church and Concord Baptist Church in Brooklyn. Blacks, African Americans move towards those churches and not necessarily the Baptist churches in Flatbush. It wasn't until in the 1960s and 70s when people from the Caribbean now started to move into the community, and then that created a change in dynamics, the great white flight out of Flatbush in the 70s. And so they were replaced by people from the Caribbean, in particular Haiti, and later on Jamaica. And as the white flight left the community, the demographics changed. Then the membership and the demographics of the church also changed. And we had our first black pastor. I believe he came in the 70s. To the church, but it was a different era when they started from where we are now.
Indeed. Now, just Anthony, just think about coming out of slavery, and oftentimes we hear that the only book that we would not be beaten for was if they caught us with the Bible during slavery, they wouldn't have beat us. So now these churches are all white church, and who would imagine Pastor Cohall that there was a Bible called the Slave Bible. The Slave Bible. And I'm just gonna I'm gonna take just a minute and 45 seconds of your precious time for you to listen to this piece I got from NBC, and for the audience to understand what we went through as a people and how we transitioned into the church system, especially a church like the Lenox Road Baptist Church.
Inside Washington's Museum of the Bible, a single volume that is like no other. The so-called Slave Bible. Remarkable not for what's in it, but for what's not.
So about 90% of the Old Testament's been removed, and about 50% of the New Testament's been removed. To put it another way, a normal King James Version has 1,189 chapters in it. The Slave Bible has only 232.
Missing are chapters and verses that might have encouraged uprisings. Book of Exodus, redacted. No story of Moses demanding Pharaoh, let my people go. Gone is Galatians, and the verse, there is neither bond nor free, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And no Jeremiah, woe unto him that useth his neighbor's service without wages.
What they've left in are verses such as Ephesians 6:5, which is the famous verse, slaves, be obedient to your master.
Looking at this Bible, it's hard to tell that anything's been taken out of it.
That's correct. I mean, it looks like a normal book. For many enslaved Africans, this would have been the first time they were exposed to the Bible.
A Bible selectively edited to instill obedience, using religion to underpin the horror of slavery.
When people encounter this exhibit, what lasting impression do you want them to leave with?
Well, we want to pass the message on that may this never happen again. The Bible itself is a whole book. It's not one that you get to carve up and use this piece or that piece.
The slave Bible designed to repress rebellion, but it didn't work. Enslaved people in the Caribbean constantly fought against slavery until emancipation.
I think it's very relevant to understand our history, not just American history, but our African-American history, our roots and how we got to this point.
A dark chapter in the history of the good book.
Underpinning the horror of slavery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you hear stuff like that, Pastor Cole Hall, I mean, we have to be some strong people coming out of slavery and what we went through and what they gave us. Just from what you just heard, talk to us about that little piece there.
Yeah. It's a horrifying thing that happened during the time of slavery when our people were locked down and treated as less than human. The deliberate attempt by the white slave masters to take these passages out of the Bible to continue to oppress and suppress the freedom and the liberation of our people was horrifying. But if you notice, there were other parts that our ancestors used to liberate themselves and to initiate some of the most liberating rebellions or uprising that we have seen. And if you notice, Raskam, there is a movement now, particularly in the southern states, Florida, and other states, to ban certain books from public schools, so that there is a sanitization of the history of slavery and oppression in this country. They do not want the current generation, their children, to learn about how their ancestors were brutal in treating people of color. So, in a sense, we have made great strides.
Mm-hmm.
We now have. Man, let me tell you, anytime you start to oppress a people, it is because that people are great.
Mm-hmm.
They have enormous potential. They can do any and everything. And so in order to keep people below a certain level, oppression and keep people in ignorance will always be the order of the day. So I got to tell you, man, when you think of where we have come from, whether we are from the Caribbean, Haiti, which was one of those countries that first fought against the colonial masters, the French. But when you think of where we have come from as a people, whether from the Caribbean or from the South, and we are still making strides despite all of the things that have been put against us, voting blocks, redistricting, all of those things are still being used in different forms to keep us in a place where we cannot find the power to liberate ourselves. So yeah, we have overcome a lot, and we're still in the overcoming mode.
Now, Reverend Cole Hall, the last time I spoke to you, you clearly stated to me that you have used your pulpit not just as a church. Come as you are, you say. Come anybody can come. Come as you are. And we are now seeing the evidence, what you're doing and what you have done with the Lenox Road Baptist Church in Brooklyn. We want to talk about that in a few. Anthony, you have a question for Dr. Kirkpatrick Cohall.
Yes, Raskam, I guess you take it back, way back in history. I just want to come forward to a little bit about the church and politics today.
Yes.
And I was actually reading an interesting commentary by an author by the name of Tim Alberto. And he was talking about how politics poisoned the evangelical church. The article spoke about the movement spent 40 years, how the movement spent 40 years at war with the secular America, that's the church. and it's saying that now it's at war with itself. Now, the question is, with democracy in America being challenged by people like Donald Trump and his cohorts, what is the role of churches like the Lenox Road Baptist Church, and what is your role in helping to preserve democracy, which is being challenged today?
Yeah, that is an excellent question. You know, the scriptures tell us that to whom much is given, much is going to be required.
Indeed.
The evangelical church, the white evangelical church, and I need to specifically state that the white evangelical church in America has declared and have taken sides with the Republicans, with the extreme right. And if you can remember, religion was also used as a form of oppression. What we are doing as people of color, what we're doing at the Lenox Road Baptist Church, is that you see some of those scriptures and texts that have been taken out or was taken out in the slave Bible. We use those same texts. We interpret and reinterpret those texts for the liberation of our people. So the teachings in the Old Testament are clear that religious people must have a prophetic voice. And by that I mean you cannot be so entangled in politics that you fail to speak out against injustice. You cannot be so wrapped up then with persons who are in power that you fail to identify and call out people when they are not doing what they were sent to do. So what I have done is to use the pulpit at Lenox Road Baptist Church, and now we've extended our reach right across the nation because of the internet. I've used my pulpit as not just as a means of preparing people for the afterlife, but as a means of empowering people that, one, you need to get out there and vote. You need to exercise your right. Those of us who are from the Caribbean and have been blessed to gone on to get our citizenship, we cannot sit by and allow things just to pass. We need to become active. We need to become empowered. We need to read. We need not to be fooled by Christian television.
Indeed.
Because I got to tell you, many of our people, especially from the Caribbean, they tune into Christian television and not realizing that the majority of what we see now on Christian television is from the religious right. And they have fooled us long enough. So I have gotten in trouble by speaking out against certain things. Lenox Road Baptist Church knows where we stand.
Rev, one second. The computers are going to take over in just about 25 seconds. I want you to hold your thoughts there. We're going to pick it up back when we come back. When we come back after the 3-minute break, we're going to pick it up right here, Reverend Dr. Patrick Cohall. Stay where you are. This is Groovin' Radio.
VIP.
Now this is Mr. Vegas.
Who is the signal I represent? You see?
Joe, you know it's Chris Martin.
You know I'm the Oogler representing him.
Hi, this is Marcy Griffiths.
This is Max Supreme.
This is Mikey Spice.
Listen, Ashentia.
I sing a melody representing
blessed love and honor. This is Janine.
Yo, this is Bunchy Garland all the way from Trinidad and Tobago.
We're grooving on radio.
The Rasslim, keep it locked. IKEA said that.
It's powerful, it's informative, it's educational with lots of thought-provoking conversations. Yes, it's Groovin' Radio, Saturday morning 9 to 11:30 and Sunday evening 6 to 8, right here on 93.5 WVIP, hosted by Ross Klem. Join the Groovin' Radio experience and stay one step ahead.
I'm not sure what you did last Thanksgiving, but let me tell you, I had the door catered for me, and it was the best decision ever made. You know how we knock ourselves out on Thanksgiving, getting the place done right, the decorating and the cooking, and sometimes we set the dinner for 6 and it's never 6 because we're still cooking. I left the catering to the door. My pickup time was at 12. Yes, at noon, every meal left the door's kitchen right to my dining table for dinner at 3, and when you talk about presentation and taste,
The turkey and the ham were the most decadent and juicy. After all, I'm talking about the door. It's the same taste you know and trust with a little extra on Thanksgiving. Pick up your catering hot on Thanksgiving Day. Call 718-525-1083. That's 718-525-1083. Let the door do the catering. Thanksgiving dinner will be good. And you take the credit.
Groovy. Jamming to the radio. Yo, this is Jack Critique singing tune to Groovin' Radio. You got it? Groovin' Radio on the mic check with your host, Ras Clem. Remember I told you?
And thank you so much, my brother, Jack Radix, who grew up in Old Pastors, Jamaica, just across from where I grew up in Jamaica. So thank you so much. And that is how I welcome you back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final hour of our Groovin' Radio's presentation. The final 25 minutes of our Groovin' Radio's presentation from wherever you're seated this morning, standing or driving, listening to Groovin' Radio. I welcome you once again to the Groovin' Radio experience. Join the conversation and stay one step ahead. Our featured guest this Saturday morning is the Reverend Dr. Kirkpatrick G. Cole Hall. He is the senior pastor now leading the Lenox Road Baptist Church. They've marked their 150th anniversary, founded in 1872, just 7 years removed from chattel slavery. It is more than a church. It is now an institution that is caring and sharing for the community. Welcome back, Reverend.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back, Anthony.
Yes.
Now, Anthony, you took the Reverend to a place where it's a place where I want the listeners to hear.
Listen clearly, man.
Listen clearly, ladies and gentlemen. We have come a very long way. And yes, they have played with our minds. They have played with our bodies in slavery and coming out of slavery. They have played with our mind. And the pertinent question that was just asked, Reverend, the church's role. The church's role. I want you to continue right there. The role of the church in today's society, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really get excited about this because the church does play a significant role in empowerment and liberation and the creation of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church, they say, and it is true, that the church and the black church in America is the only institution that meets regularly every single week of the year. Black people are gathered in thousands in one place. And that's why the politicians like to come to the churches, especially during a political season,
mm-hmm.
primarily because they have a ready-made audience. But the task of the preacher within the church, I believe,
mm-hmm.
is to create what I call an alternate consciousness,
mm-hmm.
an alternate consciousness, different from the consciousness of the dominant culture. That is, the dominant culture tends to pass down a certain kind of a way of thinking, whether it be about healthcare and education and who gets what and which people are more entitled. The church is to provide an alternate way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We preach a countercultural message that oftentimes should challenge the status quo. So, for example, if we had a governor like what we see in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and in Texas, and we know that there's a lot of injustice taking place in those places, and if the church keeps silent, mm-hmm. on those issues, then you have not fulfilled your role and your calling.
Mm-hmm.
The white evangelical church will never speak out against Donald Trump. They will never speak out against racial injustice. But you will hear them talking more about getting to heaven, getting into the afterlife, and while they are living the best life they can live right now on earth. So I, as a pastor,
mm-hmm.
my role is to help our people to think biblically, to think the way God would want us to think, that we are not victims, we are victors,
mm-hmm.
that we can overcome anything while living in Babylon.
Indeed.
So we use the models from scriptures, the Exodus story of the liberation of a people who are in bondage for 400 years, similar to what we've seen here, how they were able to overcome. We use those as prophetic preaching.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, Russ Clem, if you are in the hands of the politicians, if you're in the hands of certain people, your voice is silent.
Mm-hmm.
We at Lenox, we have decided that no, we will speak truth to power whenever we get that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And when politicians come to the church during the political election season and they do not deliver, the church holds them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't come back to our church just for votes. But you have to come back and show us and tell us what you have done, whether it's in Albany or in Washington, D.C. So, yes, we do have a prophetic role. Our role is not just to get people happy and, mm-hmm. And dancing about in the church. No, our role is much, much more than that.
Anthony, I like this pastor. I like this pastor. Patrick, Sir Patrick Cohall,
yes,
talk to us about the work now. The work now of the Lenox Road Baptist Church, because the community service that the Lenox Road Baptist Church is now offering to the community, the youths, feeding the people of the community. Talk to us about that, sir.
All right. So let me start first with the youth, because they are the generation that will be. Many of them are leading right now, but they are the generations that will take over the mantle from those of us who are transitioning out. We have given over $200,000 during my tenure as pastor as scholarships for young people to go on to help them pay their tuition and to pay for their education. Lenox Road Baptist Church believes in education as one of the means whereby we can come out of poverty. We can come out of a particular mindset. So we encourage our young people. We provide scholarships. We have a mentoring program that provides models for our young people to relate to. They don't have to look elsewhere. They could look right at people within the church, for doctors, lawyers, engineers, computer technologists, any field, social workers. We do have, and we use those individuals as models. In terms of sports and recreation, our young people, you know, sports is a big part of young people's life. We do have a basketball gym that is built into the church, a full court basketball gym that our programs were suspended because of COVID. But we are opening up again, and our young people can find a safe place to come in, whether it be on a Friday or a Saturday, to play basketball or do other activities. In terms of our ministry to seniors, we do have health ministries related to seniors, related to people who are in need. The doctors who come to our church and the nurses who come to our church, we utilize their gifts, and they are part of our health and wholeness ministry. We do have a feed-in program where we work in partnership with the political leaders. And, of course, we literally give out hundreds of families food and other resources that they need. We have an after-school program where children can come to a safe place. Let me just give you a quick example. There were a group of kids who were part of our after-school program.
Mm-hmm.
They were being chased by another group of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when they reached close to Lenox Road, they saw this church steeple, and they ran directly into the church because they realized that the church was a safe place for them. So our after-school program is going. Man, I am just excited. We have 30 different outreach ministries right now at Lenox Road Baptist Church, and all of them are actively engaged in some form of empowerment.
Mm. You know, Anthony, the Reverend said something just now that I haven't seen it on NBC. I haven't seen it on CNN. You have given how much money for scholarships? How much?
Over $200,000 during my tenure at the church.
And we haven't seen this highlighted anywhere.
Yep.
And that is why, Reverend Cohall, when this first came to my attention that your church is celebrating 150 years, it came at a time when you were having this grand event to celebrate.
Yes.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So as I spoke to you that morning in our community engagement segment, as you continue to speak, I am now listening and I'm saying, but this is not just a church. This is an institution that is embedded in our community that is doing some great work and we are not hearing about it. Mm-hmm. And that is why we're highlighting it this morning. And I wonder.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
And you're welcome, sir. And I wonder, when I look at your bio and how it read from Cornwall College, from Cornwall College to working as a doctor at one of the top cancer center in these United States, going to theological school, becoming an adjunct professor. Have anyone ever tell you that you are a legend? Have anyone ever tell you that you're a legend? Huh?
No, sir.
Some things are just never said.
Hold on, Doc. Something are just never said, but we're saying it this morning. You're a legend.
Story of my life, ordinary person just like you.
Indeed.
If you take a look inside, see the great things that people do. Changing lives day and night, but nothing I do ever makes the news.
Indeed.
Still I have to do what's right, to the King of all kings, all praises due. Yesterday I was on a train, a little boy asked me my name. He said, sir, I've seen you before, tell me who are you? Said I am a legend that you never heard of before.
You're hearing about him this morning.
I said I am a lion, but you never heard me roar.
Hey.
I am a hero that nobody celebrates.
But we're celebrating him this morning.
But if one person remembers my name,
at least you've made that change.
That means I've made a change. I'm the man who cooks the food and feed the street people in the afternoon.
You know, Reverend Cohall,
we
have to celebrate people like you. We have to celebrate the goodness of what people like you have done and have been doing in the community. It's not about just coming to church and preaching the word of the Lord.
Right.
Yes, we like that. But we also love what you have done with the institution known as the Lenox Road Baptist Church. I applaud you. I applaud you, sir. Indeed. You're a legend. Yeah. You're a legend. Anthony.
Let me just say one thing real quick.
Go ahead.
Certainly, I appreciate the affirmation, but I also want to just say that we have a dynamic team at Lenox, man. We have people who are just as committed, just as enthusiastic about ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I have several associate ministers. Of course, my wife is one of our ministers. We have Reverend Sharon Downer, Reverend Tamara Henry, Minister Johnson. We have a terrific team of leaders, of lawyers and engineers and everybody who is just pulled together. See, when the people have a mind to work, Everything will be accomplished, and we can do any and everything.
Yes, indeed. Anthony, you have something to say.
Yes, Doctor, I applaud the fact that you even attempted to answer the question, because sometimes when we have folks like you on, they dance around the question and never really answer it.
Mm.
But my final question to you, I am a 70s, 80s generation. Grew up in that generation.
No, you're a 60s generation, yeah, Anthony. 60s,
but I mean, really, I grew up in the 70s, 80s, you know. No, when you talk to some of the youths at your church and in the community, Doctor, I know they have different beliefs, they listen to different music, they have different family values. Talk to us a little about some of the ideological differences that you see, and how can we have a common ground between the different generations?
Yeah.
The aim in a situation like that is not to be judgmental. One of the first things that will turn people off is when you come to them from a superior know-it-all standpoint. So a good part of what we do is to listen. And someone once said that whenever you have amnesia about how you were raised, you will treat people in a certain kind of way. So we reflect too on when we were young, how radical we were. The music we listened to was different from the music of the church. And we didn't want anyone to judge us as though we were doing something wrong. So my first move is not to be judgmental. Is not to condemn or to say your music is wrong, and you shouldn't be listening to that kind of music. I approach minister from a cultural standpoint. Also, I love to listen to good reggae music that is culturally uplifting. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with a lot of the new artists that are there. But if the music is empowering, if it doesn't put down women, if it doesn't have a high sexual and abusive word content, mm-hmm. if it is good cultural music that liberates people, then we are on top. But we embrace every culture.
Mm-hmm.
I have two young adult kids. One of my daughter just graduated from Rutgers Law School, and she
Congrats.
Passed the bar, by the way.
Congrats.
Last week, the news, yeah, she passed the bar. I have another son who graduated from Howard University and worked as a production assistant at Good Morning America.
Wow.
And they have different views from their father and their mother.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
we can have, I treat them as adults, as educated adults, so we can have a mutual understanding
mm-hmm.
of how they want to live their lives
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
how we live our lives.
Mm.
So, yes, it's embracing our young people.
Indeed. Indeed. We need more pastors like you. We need more people like you, Reverend Kirkpatrick Cohall. We need more people like you embedded in our community. And when you talk about the caliber of people that comes to your church,
mm-hmm.
that is why now, Anthony, you realize that when we come together individually, we are very, very poor. But collectively,
yes,
we're very rich.
Yes,
we are very rich. And I'm not talking about financial riches here. I'm talking about across the board.
Right.
When you look at the countless engineers and lawyers and doctors and teachers, professors, and what we have to offer, and you have a lot of them gathering at the Lenox Road Baptist Church, a stapled institution in our community. You see the end result. You see how much money they're giving for students to go on to higher education, to higher learning. You see how they're taking care of the youths in the community, how they're feeding the needy in the community. We need more institution like this. 150
yeah.
years. My final question. How was the how was the grand celebration? How was that?
Man, the gala was out of this world.
Mm.
It was solid. We got the right numbers that we needed. Everybody had a good time.
Wow!
Thanks to Joan and Chris from the door. They were fabulous. All of our honorees were on point, mm-hmm. and everybody was dressed to the nine. We had good music and good food.
Indeed. Well,
thanks to you, Rasclam, also.
You're very welcome, sir. You're very, very welcome. Well, you can tell the congregation that you found another home. And it's called Groovin' Radio.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It is called Groovin' Radio. You're welcome here anytime, Doctor. You're welcome here anytime to come and share what's happening in the Brooklyn community, what you guys are doing there at Lenox Road Baptist Church. Once again, I apologize. applaud you. You are indeed one of those unknown legends in our community that people need to know about, people need to hear about. And that is why we highlighted you this morning and the services and the work that you have done over the years, not only at the Lenox Road Baptist Church, but down there at Sloan Kettering and also in the classroom and as an adjunct professor. Thank you so much. Your closing remarks this morning, Rev.
Yes, thank you so much, Ras Glenn and Anthony, for having me again. I was just so delighted to be a part of this and to spread the news that we as a people were doing good work here in Brooklyn.
Indeed.
God bless, man. I'm blessed to your station.
Indeed. God bless you and, right, and your family, sir. Right, you take care. We'll talk soon again, Doc. Take care.
All right. Take care now.
One love. Bye-bye. One love. Well, Anthony, it's another one. Another one in the back. Great individual. A great individual. 60 seconds, Anthony.
Yeah, man. And it's great that a lot of times, you know, we don't sing praises to people doing quality work. So I applaud you for highlighting what he has been doing in the community and, you know, giving him his flaws rather than, you know.
Indeed, indeed. One love, Anthony. We'll talk later.
All right, you take
care. Thank you for all what you do. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now in our charity corner real quick this morning because the Multicultural Chamber of Commerce of Westchester come next week, Friday evening, October 28th, inside the Green Tree Country Club. They're having their first gala. For more information, 914-269-6868. That's 914-269-6868. The Homewood Technical Alumni Association, they're getting ready for their grand event on November 5th, and this one will take place in the Polish National Club at 329 South Peninsula Boulevard in Hempstead. And this event, once again, is to Hey the School tomorrow. I'll dedicate some more time to this segment. We spoke to Dr. Winston Scott this morning from the Jamaica, from the Caribbean Medical Mission. They're on November 5th also, and the Morant Bay High School celebrating 36 years. Tomorrow evening, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go through the charity corner. Waiting on the other side of the 11:30 hour, it is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Carl B. Moxie and Sister Deba rolls in. At 1, it's Irie Jam. And at 6 p.m., it's going to be Link Up. At 8 p.m. this evening, Soundchat Radio rolls in. There is a hunger crisis taking place in Somalia. My question is, why aren't we talking more about it? What are we doing about it? We seem to can find money, millions and millions of dollars, to send to the Ukraine. Be mindful, ladies and gentlemen. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, he says no more handguns will be for sale in Canada. I will dive into it tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. My name is Ras Glenn. Groovin' Radio was executively produced by Clement Hume and Christopher Roberts. Groovin' Radio was hosted by Ras Glenn. A quick rundown. Our musical presentation this morning, we had the music of Sister Judy Mowat, the first Jamaican woman to be nominated for a Grammy. Joining us in our community engagement segment was Dr. Winston Scott. We got news from the Jamaica Gleaner, Jamaica Now with Javon Johnson. Anthony Turner gave us ER, and he provided the bio for our very special mic check guest, the Reverend Dr. Kirkpatrick G. Cohall, the pastor, the senior pastor at the Lenox Road Baptist Church.